Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. I thank you, Father God, that your presence is here and felt so mightily. I thank you, Father God, that you come and you settle things around us so we can focus and we can really target these issues tonight in prayer. I thank you that you open up our hearts. You open up the eyes of our understanding to hear the word of the Lord tonight. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In your precious name, amen. All right. Praise God. So tonight, I want to continue where I was last week on the 21st century Holocaust of our children. And, you know, I've been praying over and pursuing some steps that we can take in this fight as the church, as intercessors, and as citizens, really. So we're going to talk about a few things, and then I'm going to share those with you. And I hope that it will bless you and encourage you and help you on your side in this fight for our nation. So over the last several weeks, actually, and even if you look into last year, I've given several messages, and so his mom, surrounding the assault on our faith, our values, and especially those things that target our children, from abortion. If you go back just prior to the 2022 election, I gave a message on abortion and voting and the impact of the believer in that system and how God looks at it when we abstain from voting or we vote for a pro-choice, which means a pro-abortion candidate. We've given messages on human trafficking, especially the last couple of weeks. Mom's really touched on this. It's been just so powerful and compelling. I've talked about the LGBTQ plus agenda. I've talked about the compromise in the liberal theology introduced to weaken the pulpits. And then especially, and this goes into the LGBTQ plus, the transgender ideology that they have thrust upon our youth. Most of these are driven by cultural Marxism and have been unleashed upon society by the elite and then filtered through those deceived social justice warriors that the left have trained up in their image. And this, it's very important that we as intercessors look at things from this perspective. We have to not be unaware of what's going on because some of these things require action on our part. And it also helps us to pray effectively. You know, all of these things, they really are a targeted takedown of our country. You know, Marx, as I shared before, and I'll probably share this many times over because it impacted me when I learned this, that he knew if he was going to take down a nation, they had to first take out the church. And for him, Spurgeon was symbolic of the church because Spurgeon gave such pointed messages. They were relevant to the times, and they were always through the word of God. And because of Spurgeon, he could not penetrate England. And so we as the church need to rise up and be that resistance against the enemy's plans. You know, the church is the last line of defense in America. America is the last line of defense against tyranny in the earth. But the intercessor, we are the last line of defense in it all. And most especially for the church, which is why so many come under attack. You're so important in this fight. And, you know, that could be a whole message right there, how important you are in this fight. But we have to proceed. So last week I said I would come back this week with some targeted solutions for us. So, you know, we take this time to research and share things with you because we know that each of these issues are chipping away at the moral fiber of our society. And in this hour, the Lord has really provoked these messages. He has provoked it because He is wanting us to hit these issues incredibly hard. As I shared before, we're in the middle of the rebirth of our nation, and the hammer of justice is about to fall. Our role in this season is critical. You've got to look at the season of time that we're in today through the lens of the Lord and look at your role in this season of time through His eyes. It will help you engage even more in your prayers and feel even more effective in your prayers. So the intercessor, you know, it's critical we stay in the fight so that we can get the nation across the finish line. But for the church, it's critical that the church engages with the Spirit of the Lord because there is a momentum coming to take this nation back for His kingdom. You know, when you look at I'm fascinated by things that require momentum. I don't know why. I guess I always have been. You know, when you set up dominoes and you flick that first domino and things slowly start to go. But if you have that domino set veering off to three or four different channels, they'll begin to hit those, and you'll just see across this board this most amazing image come forth. I've seen some beautiful, beautiful artwork actually be unveiled through that kind of action, but it requires the momentum of the first domino to fall, and then each one hits the other and they roll out. We're about to see momentum. I mean, as Daryl has been sharing these praise reports as of late, we're hardly able to get the messages out, and God is already bringing forth the fruit of our prayers on these issues. He's already bringing forth exposure, and He's already bringing forth the fruit of it in our legislation across the country. So we cannot let up in our prayers. We have to continue to press on. Okay, so as citizens, we've also got to recognize what's occurring and employ the necessary tactics to ensure history does not repeat itself. You know, Roe versus Wade was overturned June 24th of 2022. That's momentum for us to get on board and fight this out. And there's many states that have abortion bans. But that doesn't mean we just stop because Roe versus Wade is overturned. We have to continue in the fight because the momentum is here, both in the natural and in the spirit. Stay in the fight. What I keep saying this, I know that it can be a harsh statement, but the 21st century Holocaust of our children, it does seem like a harsh declaration, but that is what it is. The enemy is trying to destroy our posterity through abortion, through human trafficking, through the LGBTQ or the queer, which at its core is gender confusion, and we've been silent on these issues for far too long. To be fair, the exposure of human trafficking and especially the gender ideology or confusion is just now making waves in the general population. However, abortion was on the scene for over 50 years, and unfortunately, the church was complicit or at the very least silent and ultimately participated in the industry. How? Do you know how many churches out there are pro-women's choice? If they are pro-women's choice, they're pro-abortion. Margaret Sanger went from church to church when she, in the South, when Planned Parenthood first started, and she paid the pastors $500 to endorse and promote her services. They were complicit. Even today, many churches still believe that abortions are not murder. They believe, I read a Pew Research poll on this, and they believe the Bible isn't clear on abortion. And so it's up to the reader to make that determination. Let me be clear. The Bible says life begins at conception. In fact, life begins before conception. The soul was created and in the womb. The destiny, the scroll was written and the destiny formed before that soul ever came into the mother's womb. Life begins before conception in the eyes of God. When you abort a child, you are not only aborting that child's life, but you are aborting its posterity. Many lives are lost when you abort. So, in a book that I'm reading right now, it says, it's a book, it's entitled When a Nation Forgets God. This is a letter that was written under Hitler's Holocaust, the 20th century Holocaust. It's an eyewitness account of how some members of the church reacted to Nazism in their times. The writer scribes, I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. I considered myself a Christian. We heard stories of what was happening to the Jews, but we tried to distance ourselves from it because what could anyone do to stop it? A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning we could hear the whistle in the distance and then the wheels coming over the tracks. We became disturbed when we heard the cries coming from the train as it passed by. We realized that it was carrying Jews like cattle in the cars. Week after week, the whistle would blow. We dreaded to hear the sound of those wheels because we knew that we would hear the cries of the Jews en route to the death camp. Their screams tormented us. We knew the time the train was coming, and when we heard the whistle blow, we began singing hymns. By the time the train passed our church, we were singing at the top of our voices. If we heard the screams, we sang more loudly. And soon we heard them no more. Years have passed, and no one talks about it. But I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. God, forgive me. Forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians, yet did nothing to intervene. Elie Wiesel, a survivor of the 20th century Holocaust, said, silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented, as evidenced by this letter. People of God, we've been silent long enough, and it's time to let our voices be heard. Our children are being tormented under a deceptive ideology that has two roots driving it, greed and destruction. 2 Peter 2:1-3 in the Amplified Version. 2 Peter 2:1-3 tells us that this very thing will occur. It says, but also in those days there arose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies, even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their immoral ways and lascivious doings. Because of them, the true way will be maligned and defamed. And their covetousness, or their lust and greed, they will exploit you with false and cunning arguments. That word exploit means to make merchandise of you. That's what it means, make merchandise of you. So in their covetousness or their lust and greed, they will make merchandise of you with their false and cunning arguments. From of old, the sentence of condemnation for them has not been idle. Their destruction or their eternal misery has not been asleep. So out of their greed and their lust, they're going to make merchandise out of us. The word told us this would take place. And today we see them making merchandise out of our children through these agendas that they are shoving down our children's throats at school. Why were we warned so we could stand against it? The Bible is there. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing. And the Bible is there for us to view the world through the lens of the Lord. When you see things, find out what the Word of God has to say about it so that you can behave as God would have us behave. It's time for us to stand in the gap now more than ever. So turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 18. I'm going to read an Amplified Classic version. Again, that's Revelation 2, verse 18. And I'm going to read through verse 29, so just bear with me. And then I'm going to pull some points out of this because the Lord is speaking to the church, and I believe he's speaking to the church then, he's speaking to the church today, and he'll be speaking to the church about this until it's eradicated. Verse 2, and to the angel or messenger of the assembly church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire and whose feet glow like bright and burnished and white hot bronze. I love this description of the Lord. You know, in your own time, you should go through those letters to the churches and pull the description of the Lord from each letter. That will draw you to your knees. I love this because this is like his eyes are a flame of fire. I can feel him boring into our souls to expose and eradicate the sin he died to cleanse us from. When I read this, that's what I see. That's what I experience. I know, verse 19, I know your record and what you're doing, your love and your faith and your service and your patient endurance, and that your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. But verse 20, I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality, which is symbolic of idolatry, and she refuses to do so. Take note. I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who commit adultery with her, her paramours, I will bring down to pressing distress and severe affliction, unless they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent of their doings. And I will strike her children, her proper followers, dead, thoroughly exterminating them. And all the assemblies or the churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches minds, the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes, and the inmost hearts. I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, I tell you that I do not lay upon you any other fresh burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes is victorious, and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me. I will give him authority and power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a scepter of or a rod of iron. And when earth, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assemblies or the churches. So what is the Lord, the one with eyes like flames of fire burrowing into our soul, saying? Well, to the church, he's saying, stop tolerating Jezebel. That word tolerate doesn't just mean kind of ignore, put up with, like you do, you know, a kid that's crying in the supermarket and you're just trying to get your shopping done. You just, you know, you just endure. No, it means to permit. It means to allow, to go even to this extreme and to not restrain. So the church has allowed Jezebel to go to this extreme. They have allowed her, permitted her to go to these depths. So in order to really understand this, let's look at Jezebel for just a minute. And, you know, we think, wait, Jezebel, I'm sure that nobody in their church was actually named Jezebel. She undoubtedly had the behaviors and attributes of the Jezebel we read about in 2 Kings. However, we're going to look at that Jezebel for just a moment. She was very powerful. She was incredibly manipulative, and she controlled both the government and the culture of Israel through her manipulations of Ahab, coupled with her idolatrous ways. You know, if you looked at a modern-day version of this, you would see Bill Clinton, that would be Ahab, and you would see Hillary Clinton, that would be Jezebel. That's probably a very good example. Jezebel thrust a rebellion against God into the face of the people. She killed the prophets, and she destroyed the youth. And she was really, you know, ahead of her time. And today, we would look at her and say, man, she's like a cultural Marxist. People say, well, what exactly is that? And I talked about that over the last couple of weeks. But think about that. Think about what Hillary did while she was in office. She used her husband's power to further an agenda in her pro-women stance. Her and her husband furthered abortion. More than any president since Roe. Obama comes in a close second. His focus was the LGBTQ plus agenda. Her focus, in fact, she was so intent on this movement to push abortion. It wasn't about women's rights. It was about abortion. That she set up an entire foundation, the Clinton Foundation, in Africa to teach not doctors, but midwives how to perform abortions. And they handed out birth control like candy. That's what they did in Africa. That's the Clintons. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. The Clinton crime machine has been well documented. Jezebel had priests of Baal, which practiced the sacrifice of children on a bronze altar of fire, while the drums beat loudly to drown out the screams of the child. The premise of the worship of Baal in Syria and Palestine was inextricably bound to the economy of the land, which depended on the regularity of adequacy of the rains. So if there was a drought, the sacrifices would amp up. Why? Because they would sacrifice to Baal in hopes that he would send them rain. The greater the need, the greater the sacrifice. We see kings who sacrifice their sons on the altar just before war. Their adult sons. In the Old Testament. this is the kind of activity that Jezebel and the worship of Baal encouraged and required. Then there was the worship of Ashtaroth, which is the goddess of fertility and love. These rituals involved male worshipers with priests and priestesses of the goddess. The priests and male prostitutes who were sodomites consecrated to her cult engaged in very lascivious ritual practices. Think about this for a moment. What's taking place? They're trying to push abortion, not just to the point of birth, but in some states, if that mother happens to go to 42 weeks, they can still do that abortion. If that baby dies for some mysterious reason in the state of California, they won't even do an investigation until that baby is 28 days old. Look at what's happening, Ashtaroth, with the goddess of fertility and love. Look what's happening. This was about sodomy. Look what's happening with the LGBTQ plus agenda. We can thank Obama for that one. He signed more legislation to further the homosexual movement than any president in history. Jezebel sought to influence and change the culture of the nation through these nefarious means. Sexual immorality reigned in her day, and they actively sacrificed children for wealth, influence, and power. The ceremonies blurred the lines of gender. When one considers the fact that there's an entire sect of transgenders who engage in the same type of cultic activities through bondage, exhibitionism, self-mutilation, and so on, you cannot help but see a modern-day Jezebel sacrificing our youth on the altar of Baal and in the ceremonial worship of Ashtaroth even today. If the Second King's Jezebel were alive today, I'm going to tell you something. She would be in awe of what they're doing. She would be in awe. Much like today, the church tolerated her then. They tolerated her in Revelation 2, and they're tolerating her now. Who are some modern-day Jezebels? I'm going to throw some names out there. You may disagree with me, and that's okay. I would say Larry Fink through BlackRock. He's the CEO of BlackRock. That's the financial end. Klaus Schwab, he is over the World Economic Forum, and they're controlling nations through finance and working to depopulate nations to help better accommodate their goals, their 2030 agenda. They control wealth and power. George Soros manipulates and controls governments and our justice system through the elections. He shapes and he molds perspectives through the media and the culture through diversity and equity agreements. These men are modern-day Jezebels, and we have tolerated their influence long enough. This is an intentional and organized attack on the land, and the church must rise up against their influence. And we can't do it if their sin is in our churches. So how's it in the church? Well, I've already talked about that because of abortion and because we've opened up our doors to the LGBTQ plus agenda. This is part of the intentional destruction of our nation. You know that President Xi will not allow LGBTQ in his military, and Putin outlawed transgender procedures in his country just last week. Why do you think that is? These are strong leaders that are saying, you're not letting that garbage over here. I know what it does to a society because I'm watching it through my TV screens looking at America. We, the church, have to stop tolerating Jezebel. Number two, I know that was long, but that's the longest one, okay? Number two, we need to repent. You may say that, Ricky, I don't engage in any of this, but the church does. The nation does. Daniel was one of the most righteous men, and he lived in Babylon. Babylon sought to woo and lure people into acceptance through its great wealth, its luxuries, its tasty dainties, and Daniel never succumbed to their temptations. In fact, he openly rejected them. In Daniel chapter 9, he entered a time of repentance for the nation as he had counted the days, and he knew that the deliverance promised through Jeremiah was about to occur. The 70 years was approaching. What he did, you can read that chapter, it's very powerful, Daniel chapter 9, is identificational repentance. And that is what intercessors do. Number three, we need to hold fast to the teachings of the Lord. And that's what we saw in verse 25 of Revelation 2. To do this, we have to know what the word says about sin and hold fast to righteousness. We have to stay in the word and read and listen to sound, biblically based teachings. The Bible is still as relevant today as it has always been. There's not a single topic occurring in the world that cannot be viewed through the lens of the word of God. Number four, we need to stand up for righteousness and speak truth to the lies. Proverbs 12:19 says, "Truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Friends, we have to stand for truth. It will outlive the lie every single time. Even the secular author George Orwell said, "In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act." Friends, remember, the Lord said 2023 is the year of revolution. Revolution is here. Let's ensure we're on the right side of this revolution by standing for righteousness and speaking truth to the lies. Number five, we need to overcome. Verse 26 says, "He who overcomes." That word, overcomes, implies a battle. We've got to engage in the battle, engage in prayer. We've got to stand for righteousness. You have no idea the power of God that courses through a rod of righteousness as they overcome. Talk about influence. Our righteousness, our righteous presence influences our area in profound ways. Overcome. Press through until you overcome. Number six, we've got to obey his commands. Verse 26 in the King James says, "He who keepeth his works." This word means to spiritually guard or keep intact his commands. We've got to spiritually guard and keep intact his commands. We cannot allow the enemy to weaken the gospel message. The truth about the holiness of God and the effectiveness of the whole counsel of the Word of God in the life of the believer today. Why is this so important? Because Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 teaches us that sin separates us from God. We cannot be effective with sin in our lives. That's plain and simple. When we overcome that sin, it moves us closer to being the overcomer, the one who obeys, the one who stays in the fight. Now more than ever, we can't let up in this. Listen and heed. This is number seven. This implies considering what's been said and actively applying those principles in our lives. Okay, so that's the church. What does the intercessor do? We need to pray for the church. Like Tommy Hicks, like the Tommy Hicks vision that I read last week, when the church awakens, the light of God will force the enemy into hiding. Secondly, we need to pray for the church to take a stronger stand against the enemy of our children. Pray for pastors to have the courage and the boldness to rise up and educate their people on this 21st century Holocaust. The church is called to influence the culture, the finance, and the government of nations. Pray for pastors to become more involved in these areas as well. The Matthew 28 commission that says, "Go ye therefore and teach all the nations," this is an apostolic commission. It's apostolic in its nature and calls for the discipling of nations in the ways of God. Much like the Black Robe Regiment of the 1700s, we have to disciple the nations, and it really begins with ours. We need to pray for the mama and the papa bears to rise up and stand against the indoctrination programs in our schools. Pray for them to have the courage to take that stand. Number four, we need to pray for teachers and school administrators Pray for them to come out of the deception. For those who know the truth but feel trapped and pressured to comply, pray for the strength to come forward as whistleblowers. With the pressure they're under by teachers' unions, which is another Marxist organization, it's unbelievable. They really need our prayers. Number five, we need to war against these agendas in repentance, intercession, and even warfare for the mature intercessor. Number six, we need to pray for legislators. We need to pray for them. In some states, they are very alienated. The righteous ones are very alienated. Pray for them to rise up. Pray for them to have the courage, and pray for them to have favor even among their peers. And finally, number six, we need to speak truth to the lies that are being said. Truth has tremendous power. We need to speak it out. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful lips shall be established forever. And we live in a time when everyone seems to be declaring their truth, right? No, that's not my truth. I have my truth. This is my truth. And you hear that said frequently. We live in a time, really, even in this deception, we have to remember there is only one truth, and that's the one we've got to stand on. Pray around your schools. Pray from the elementary school to the universities. Take another intercessor with you and walk around the schools on weekends and declare scriptures of truth, justice, and righteousness over those schools. It's really important that we take these steps. It's really important. Now I'm going to try to get through the citizens, okay? Number one, we need to vote for candidates that stand for our biblical values. And I've got this written out, and I'll try to send this out to you. So I'm going to summarize it for the sake of time. But I just want to be able to share this with you. Vote for candidates that stand for our biblical values. And when I send this out, I'll send a link to a couple of organizations that monitor what's coming up before the legislators and what these candidates really believe in, so that you can access it and as we move into our next election cycle. Number two, attend your school board meetings. Even if you don't have a child in school, your tax dollars go to the educational system. You can go to the school boards. Ohio's largest school district just spent $24,000 to train their teachers on how to hide transitioning children from parents, and if they're discovered, how to handle the pushback from the caregiver. Go to the school board meetings. Find out what's going on. Stay vigilant, number three, and informed on the political and cultural issues so you can stand against them. Again, I'll send another resource out on that because I think it's really important. We need to know the most important thing is we've got to have pro-life legislators being elected on every realm. Finally, number four, don't remain silent. Become a voice in your community, your school, your church. Let it be known that we, the people of God, will not tolerate this Holocaust any longer. I'm not suggesting aggressive tactics, but I am suggesting organized, thought-provoking conversations with people. I understand it can be difficult for some, but it's good to get to a place where we are comfortable being uncomfortable. We are fighting for our children. They don't have a voice. We do. Just like Elie Wiesel said, silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Together, I believe we can stop this 21st century Holocaust of our children. I keep reading that letter from that churchgoer that I read at the top of this message, and it just breaks my heart. It's time for us to take a stand against the enemy and not sing louder or remain silent. Our influence has got to exceed the influence of the world. It must. This is the hour in which the ecclesia must arise against the assault on our children. And my friends, I would not, and I don't believe the Lord would have these messages going forth if I didn't 100% believe we would succeed in overturning the darkness. As the awakening sweeps across our nation and the darkness flees, let me tell you, we're going to see mighty transformations in the lives of our children. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you for the nuggets, the precious nuggets in your word. And I pray, Father God, I know I went quickly, but Lord God, that these points penetrated the hearts and minds, and that there's a couple in there that we can grab hold of and apply in our lives as we stand in the gap and stand against this 21st century Holocaust against our children. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.